Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
What about that?
This is the Midweek Rush.
This one is good.
Triple M rocks footy.
Joey Montagna, good enough to drop in. We love that. Nath Brown, a regular on the Midweek Rub. Nice to see you both, gentlemen.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Always love talking footy midweek.
Yeah, good to be here, Jim.
Josh Kelly, the big story out of today. Nath re-signs for the Giants at least for another 2 years, and that will be good news for anyone who loves that franchise.
Yeah, it's a good filler for the Giants. They're going really well at the moment, and I reckon this is their best chance. I know 2 years ago against the Tigers, they were nearly there to win a premiership, but just the boost that gives them, I think they're playing better footy than what they were 2 years ago. It is open. Any one of six teams or can win it this year, whereas last year or the year before, I thought maybe one or two teams, but Josh Kelly committing to that football club, that's huge news for them up there and huge news for footy in New South Wales.
Joey, you got to think, we're talking about this off the top, you got to think with the players that have exited, Dylan Shield being the most recent one, you've got to think there's room now for these elite players to get paid what they deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's rightly that he should be getting over $1 million. I think the salary cap, I think we're underestimating how much you can afford to pay players now as the salary cap continues to grow. And I mean, hearing reports say that he can ask for an extension of 6 to 8 years after, in 2 years' time, he's got the right to say, no, I want to sign another 6-year deal. So he might be there for life. It's a pretty significant signing for Gold Coast.
Well, in 2 years' time, he's a free agent.
Or, yep.
Is that it? Yes.
Well, that's what you said.
8 years will be there. Yeah. So he is. So
but he's got an option in his contract.
It's okay to have those long-term contracts now because we've seen that having senior players on your list is good. I mean, it was only 5 years ago where as soon as you get to 30, let's get rid of them. But you see David Mundy playing on the weekend. You see Gary Abbott playing Pendlebury at the moment. It's so advantageous to have those good class players at your footy club, no matter how old they are.
Where does he fit in their midfield group? Is he the best player they've got? Is Canelio? Is Whitfield? Where are you? Where are you placing?
Jeez, that's a good out of Whitfield, Kelly, Canelio. I'd have to, the way the season's been going, you have to put Whitfield almost number one and then Canelio two for me. So I've got Josh Kelly as the third best player at GWS, but he's probably a top 10 player in the competition.
Hopper, Taranto.
When they're all up and flying and even with no injury, you'd have to take Kelly as number one. But the good thing about Canelio is he kicks goals and he kicks goals regularly. So I just think at the moment, Canelio has to be on top because for a midfielder to be able to kick goals, that's huge.
A nice segue into the next thing we want to talk about, Nath, which is Collingwood fans. I don't actually know where this debate started. The Nathan Buckley and Pendlebury.
I saw it online. Who would you take? Is Pendlebury now a better player than Nathan Buckley? And I mean, they're both great champions, so it's hard to split them. But geez, to say Pendlebury's better than Bucks, it's he's getting in that realm at the moment. But Bucks was a damn good player, wasn't he?
Oh, amazing.
It's a tough one. Nathan Buckley posters on my wall. Yep. I was a Collingwood fan as a kid, and Buckley was my idol. So it's hard to go past Bucks. Bucks probably stood out more in a team, didn't he, Bill, that wasn't very good for a long time. Buckley played at Collingwood through the late 90s, early where they weren't a very good side, and then they got to the grand finals. Yep. Pendlebury's probably been able to play in a better team for longer, but I'd still take Buckley.
Didn't have Samantha Fox?
Hey?
What?
You had on your wall.
That was on my school
Let
diary.
Let me throw a few of these at you, Joey, because there's obviously a lot of talk around Sam Walsh at the moment being the rising star, but Connor Rosie, who I thought for only a handful of possessions the other night, he had 20-odd, he was outstanding.
Yeah, he was. Connor Rosie is an absolute beauty. He sort of more reminds me of Chris Judd when he came onto the scene. Got that X factor, that speed, done some things that no other player could do, where Sam Walsh is just that blue chip bona fide superstar.
Lenny Hayes type.
Lenny Hayes likes. Joel Selwood likes him straight into the team and had an impact straight away. I also think Sam Walsh is the rising star because I think he's doing it in tougher in a team that's down the bottom of the ladder. Yep. He's their second best player and he's been consistent where I think it's probably a little bit easier for Rosie in a team that's playing really well, got superstars around him with Boak and Robbie Gray and Wine. So he's just been able to play his role, do it fabulously. But I think what Walsh is doing, particularly being the number one draft pick and the extra weight and attention that carries, I think Walsh is still in front.
I'm going to go Rosie. I love nothing against Sam Walsh, but I love the swagger that young man comes
with. He's got a good swagger.
Kicks goals. His lateral movement is outstanding. Let's rip through these. I've got about seven or eight to ask you. Who would you take out of Curnow and McKay?
Nah, Charlie Curnow still.
Okay. Canelio and Kelly.
Canelio.
Lynch or Riewoldt?
Tom Lynch?
Yes.
Nah, Jack Riewoldt.
That was like a backslap for Tom Lynch.
I think Jack Riewoldt's got Lynch
about
coming.
Tommy, you've kicked a few this year. Cripps or Dangerfield?
Cripps.
Range McGovern?
Nah, McGovern's the best defender in the competition.
Walters or Betts?
Mickey Walters.
Oh, to Gowie or Dustin Martin?
Oh, still Dusty.
The last one, Billings or Gresham?
Gresham. Very good.
Nick Riewoldt or Lenny Hayes?
Oh, here we go.
Lenny's in Sydney. He won't be listening. Nick Riewoldt. Rui will be listening, so I'll go Rui.
Jeez, how can you overlook Paddy Dangerfield?
I know. But Chris is my favourite. Cripps is my favourite player in the competition. I love what Paddy Cripps is doing.
He's nuts.
Probably leading the Brownlow at the moment.
He is nuts, but the other bloke's had 10 years of doing it.
Yeah, he has.
And torn games to shreds.
He has.
No, and anyway, you can never be wrong with
those. You can't be wrong with those. Well, you can't be wrong with those answers.
Bill over here, I've just looked over to what he's watching, and he's watching cricket highlights at the
Bill,
moment.
What are you doing?
He's watching Shane Warne highlights.
Ian Healy's 55th birthday today.
So that's why you're watching cricket highlights during the middle of the midweek.
I had no idea he had so many stumpings in his career. Warney just turned him away. Speaking of Carlton and Cripper, they got a few out this week because they were a chance to win this one against Jim's Boyne's North Melbourne. So Simpson out.
Yeah, Newman.
And also Matty Cruiser with a hammy.
Although I'm hearing that Jared Pollock might be out for the Kangaroos, so that might just even the ledger a little bit. That's a huge game, isn't it, JB? Yep. For the Kangaroos in particular, if they lose that, you can imagine the anger that will continue to grow for the Kangaroos fans, mate.
But I reckon the pressure's starting to come on Carlton because they know there can be a good team, and all of a sudden they got close to Gold Coast and butchered that game.
Yep.
They were 6 goals up last week and butchered that game. So now the pressure starts to come. Can we win? And then they start to doubt themselves. They should have won last week, and if they did win last week, now you come into North Melbourne super confident, and you might even blow them off the park, but all of a sudden the doubts creep in again for Carlton.
Magic Door, they're talking about him playing soon, Jim.
Well, I heard middle of the year, but he may be advanced on. He is a superhuman physical specimen.
We know that.
So if anyone can advance on normal medical, you know, projections, it's him. He's a nuts setup.
Yep.
And I hear he's doing all the running and having no issue with any of that. So I guess contact's obviously the next thing when you've had a pelvic issue.
Well, they need him.
No doubt. If you were to say 3 years ago, Nath, that he might, with the new 6-6-6, be the most important player for a footy team, you would have been laughed at.
Well, 3 years ago, he wasn't a great footballer. He was still learning the game. And you saw the way he'd run. He'd run into spots that he was never going to get the footy. His second efforts were pretty ordinary. So when the ball hit the ground, he wasn't any good. But now he's added to his game being able to run guys down. He can read the ball in the back end because he reads the ball coming to him better than what he has to go and get it. So he's become a very important player. And if they can get him back, they've got a pretty good structure around their defensive end, North Melbourne. But their problems at the moment lie in the middle.
Yeah, and forward of the ball too. They're having some slight issues. Tell us about Melbourne Hawthorn. Is a fascinating game. Is that the country game, Bill?
No, Geelong and Essendon.
It's a pink lady match.
A pink lady, sorry. I knew there was a significant reason that people should acknowledge this game, but it's also very important for Melbourne to just start piecing something together, Joey.
Yeah, it is. It is. And Melbourne need to continue to find some form, but I think we still underestimate Hawthorn and their system. I was just having a look at some numbers earlier today. Hawthorn is still one of the best teams at being able to turn the ball over, cause intercepts, and score the footy, which is still the prime way to win games of football. The Hawks, they're just so strong with their system. And I think we sometimes look at who's out of the side and the players they're missing. But they're still a wonderful team. They apply a lot of pressure. They're terrific with their intercept marks in the back half. Mm. So for me, system stands up. And that's what we're seeing this year. Teams that have got strong system are in every game of football. Melbourne's system has fallen apart for whatever reason. They're trying to rediscover it. But on that basis, you'd have to take Hawthorn. They're the safer option for me.
As a club, is Alistair Clarkson the most important player at that footy club?
Absolutely is. Yeah, what Clarko does for that team, it's been underrated. We've always spoken about their ball use and their lovely kicks, Bill, but they've been a top three pressure team in the competition for the last 10 years.
Yep.
They just apply pressure. They have a great system. Their defenders then know what to do, and they are always in a game, no matter how many players they got out or injured.
So, Nath, if Melbourne were to go down to Hawthorn and are then 1-6,
yep,
does it change the way they approach the next 15 games, or does it?
Well, I think their run after that's pretty tough too. I think they've got three tough games in a row, but I don't think they can make the finals from where they are at the moment. I think something drastic's got to change. They look flat. I thought their first quarter against Richmond was okay. I thought they came out well, but they've got to start to look towards who's going to play this footy club, who is going to represent us the way we want to, because they thought they had that list last year that was going to take them to the next level. Clearly, that's not the case.
So McDonald go forward because they need goals.
Well, he went back last week and played pretty well. He did. He took care of Tom Lynch, and so he's played one game in the back end. Their problems are at either end. I think they're getting enough footy in the middle. They're getting enough footy inside their forward 50, but Wiedemann hasn't become the player they want him to. Tommy McDonald looked like he's on tram tracks and he can't turn, but he goes down back and he does an okay job. But then you've got Frost and the other McDonald haven't been able to hold the forward. So at the moment, they're problems that are either end.
And the problem for Melbourne is that not like if they go 1-6, Jim, and they can't make finals, they try and find some kids to play. Their group that are playing at the moment is their premiership group.
Yep.
Besides maybe, you know, Nathan Jones and Jordan Lewis, the rest of them are the crew that are going to take
Lever and May when they come back.
Yep. So they just need to play with this group and find their system, find their identity, build for the rest of the year and then springboard again in 2020.
So what has gone wrong? From what they were doing emphatically in August and 3 weeks of September last year to now, what's changed?
What does your stats say?
Yeah, you don't like this, Bill, but really looking at the system and the way that they're defending, a lot of other teams are defending are looking safer behind the ball. They're sort of holding their shape. Melbourne is still trying to come forward and charge forward and try and cause the turnovers in their front 50, but they're losing structure out the back. So if it goes over the top, they're just getting scored against at will. So they just need to just get back to being. That's why Tom McDonald's gone back there. You look at Richmond, they've always got Grimes out the back. They're a bit safer. West Coast, when they're Geelong, Fremantle are doing it this year, St Kilda. You've just got to be a bit safer behind the ball. Still have the forward pressure, but when they kick it, have some support. Melbourne have just been a bit too aggressive with their defence, a bit too aggressive with their mids trying to get forward pressure, and they're just getting scored too easy.
All right, Joey tells me, Bill, that the Cats are flag favourites.
Well, at the minute, maybe, yes.
Oh, I see.
I agree with the stats, Joey.
I want to ask him why when we come back for the second half of the midweek, Rob.
Do that.
I will. Here we are. We're doing the midweek rub, of course, with Naif and Joey Montagna. And it's great to have boys in that love their footy and know plenty about it, Bill.
Exactly. And Joey does that with his stats. I do like these
forward scouting for Freo. Exactly. So therefore
and taking a lot of credit for it, Jim. Don't worry about that at the moment.
Don't worry. I would too.
The most important stat that you would look at? Just one.
It's still turning the ball. It's still winning the ball back off the opposition. That is still the main way you score in a game of football. It's still the most important stat in footy, particularly in your front half, because if you turn the ball over in your front half, you're able to score, gives you a chance to score.
So and who's the best team doing that?
It's actually interesting, Bill. Geelong, by far, are the best team at turning the ball over and then scoring off that. So there's no point turning the ball over if then you just end up kicking it back to the opposition. You've got to be able to score off turnovers. And Geelong are clearly number one in the competition. And Brownie and I were chatting on Sunday when we were watching Geelong live.
We did this game, didn't we?
Yeah, about whether their forward line is the best in the competition. And they're pretty sharp.
They've got a good mix, Joey. Yep. And we spoke about it, the fact that Tommy Hawkins, who's been there for a long time, is a big general of that forward line. But now they've got Gary Rowan, who starts games better than anybody. His first quarters are outstanding. He tapers off a bit from there because I think he puts so much energy in that first quarter. He's up and about. Then you've got Gary Ablett, who's doing what he is doing. Young Atkins, who adds a little bit to it as well.
Brian Myers.
And you've just got this mix of players right now who are all gelling, and they are very, very hard to play against. Pressure's good, but individually, each of them could kick 4, 5, 6 goals on any one day. So they're not relying on Tommy Hawkins to kick 6. They're not relying on Ablett to have an unbelievable day, but every one of them is dangerous.
It's a good mix, Bill. Yeah, so as I said, so Tommy Hawkins is the big body you can kick to. Radigalia and Gary Rowan are those X-factor athletic types that can fly. The small young players are applying the pressure, Dalhouse and Myers, and they're getting after them, which means Gaz can just do what Gary Ablett does and get the ball and use it and kick goals and set them up. So they've got a great mix, and that's why at the moment they're the premiership favourites.
He still goes up the ground a bit and plays high, doesn't he?
He's got a link because
he uses it so well.
And they're letting him go at the moment. Yeah. I don't know how long they will do that for, letting
other
go.
Other teams before they start putting more
pressure
on.
Because getting back inside, forward of the centre, he's kicking towards Hawkins, towards Myers and these guys is outstanding.
A big test from this week, Jim, because they play Essendon at the MCG, where it's Geelong's narrow, we all know that, whereas MCG is a career game. It's hard to defend. So it'll be very interesting. Good game this week.
Well, speaking about forward lines, that's why Joey and Naif, I really like Collingwood, because for me, their forward line's not functioned at all in the 6 games, and they're still 4-2.
Yeah.
So if they can get that to really click into gear, everything else they do is elite.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's underrated. Their defence, they've got a terrific... Yep. I mean, you don't nearly win a grand final if you don't have a strong defence. Obviously, their midfield is star-studded, but you're right, their forward line hasn't actually quite clicked just yet, and when they do, they'll be scary.
I think Collingwood aren't moving the ball as quickly as what they did last year, so their forward line is small when you think about the players they've got in there, apart from Mason Cox, who's missing this week. And it hasn't been the player he was towards the end of last year so far. I think the 6-6-6 rule and how slow the game's going hasn't suited Collingwood, but they've been good enough to ground out wins.
Yeah, they've tried to play that style that most other teams are playing, but they've got the talent to go a bit quicker. A bit like Port Adelaide, a bit like GWS, they can actually move the ball faster than other teams because they've got the talent. They've got the skill level to do it.
Quick, would Daniel Wells, if he's fit, be the X factor forward of the Nurry?
Be an Ablett like.
Played centre half forward in a winning final for North against Essendon.
I'm not convinced on Wells. I don't think he's in their best 22. I don't think they need him, to be fair.
Elliott comes back. He's one.
Brownie, do you think Wells is in their best 22?
On pure talent, he's in their best 22. Yeah. Whether he can sustain and not be injured enough to, I mean, if he got 8 weeks in a row together, clearly he's in their best 22. But it is a risk.
Did I see where Callan Ward's going to play footy again? That can't be right.
Well, he's back at, finally, he's had the operation, so he won't play this year, you wouldn't have thought,
Surely.
No, he's just back at the club.
Back at the club.
Not yet.
He's got a bloody season-ending injury. What the hell
is that all about? He's tough, but he's not that
tough. He can't be that tough. Hey, speaking of Collingwood and Essendon, Anzac Day, one of the all-time greats for me.
Yeah, even though the Bombers lost, I think in everybody's expectations, that they went up. I think they couldn't have played any better. They were routed early and they were able to come back. It looked like being a 60-point drubbing at one stage and they were able to come back. And what they were able to do is get their contested footy in the midfield right, because up until then, we've seen the Bombers play this year and they've been very good at running and carrying and kicking the ball through the middle on 45-degree angles. What we didn't know about them is how tough they are. And they got tested by Collingwood, and I thought they bounced back after quarter time really well. So they went up in people's estimations, and now they've got a huge challenge against the Cats. And I think if they can beat the Cats, I think you'd have to start talking about the Bombers as a potential premiership threat, along with West Coast, along with Richmond, because they've pushed Collingwood. And if they can beat the Cats, that is a huge filler. So different to a side in round two. We thought, where is this footy club going?
We do tend to be a bit rose-coloured glasses with these big blockbusters. Yeah. They've been poxy
in
the last 5 or 6 years, but that was an absolute cracker. Tell us about the Saints. Obviously, you keep a close eye on your old club, Joey. Are we starting to wobble a bit, or things are still all right?
Unfortunately, there is a bit of a wobble because they're missing so many of their key players. And that's, I mean, they did a good job without Roberton and Carlisle, their two best intercept defenders. Jack Stephen was in and out of the side. They were doing such a good job. But then to lose Geary, they've just lost a bit too much experience behind the ball, because, Bill, as we keep talking about having a defensive system, you need strong leaders to organise and position and play those roles. And Jarryn Geary became really important to St Kilda's defence by being that player. Him not there, they just lose a little bit. They're quite inexperienced and young in the back half, despite Nathan Brown, who plays fullback. So it's going to hurt them. But because they are playing with great effort and great intensity and great effort, it'll give them a chance every week.
And the next three are big, big games, aren't they?
Well, GWS in Canberra is always a tough ask.
And then their next two,
I think, West Coast, maybe.
And then Collingwood, I reckon.
And then Collingwood. Like, so it's going to be tough. We'll sort
3 weeks.
Yeah.
pardon me. Where do we see the 300-gamer from Fremantle, David Mundy, in the cluster of really good midfielders in the last 15 years? Where does he fit?
Oh, yeah, he's up there. It's very hard. There's been so many good midfielders, but he's underrated over here because of being over in Perth. But I think to appreciate how much he's loved in Perth, I think that was their third biggest crowd they've had at the new stadium. By having him play his 300th game, just shows how much they love him over there.
Would he be the second best Docker ever? Obviously, Pav, I think, is the best Fremantle player that's played the game. You've got Nat Fyfe coming hard, but he's halfway through a career. Where does Mundy sit in terms of Fremantle football quality?
It's a good question, isn't it? He'd have to be in the top 3 to 5, wouldn't he? Sure. Pretty hard to fit a better career. Peter Bell, one of best and fairest, or there's been a few, but Mundy right up there.
Super Pava, superstar. But he's a different cat too, Nath. Three kids, done a university degree, and now just about to finish a master's degree. Like, he's a very different...
I travelled to Ireland with him. We did international rules in Ireland, and fair to say, he wasn't one of the blokes that was going out late at night and doing all the things you do when you're playing international rules. He brought his family with him, and that's why he's so professional. He's why he's played 300 games, travelling from Perth every week. It's very hard.
From
I know,
Seymour,
Brandy,
too.
When you play a game in Perth, you fly home and you go, imagine doing this. You don't want to go back. And then they do it every second week. It's credit to them.
Victorian boy who never wanted to go home. He wanted to stay over there, didn't he? Seymour boy.
Yep.
Loyal, Bill. Helps.
That's what he is. Yeah.
Loyal.
He would have been well looked after.
Hey, that's an impressive back six too, watching them live Saturday night. Cool. Hamling, Pierce, Wilson, Ryan, Hughes. Yep. Underrated, or understated probably, but geez, they get the job done.
Yeah, they do. They're defending really strongly. It's obviously a trademark of Ross Lyon teams that they always defend strongly, but now they're adding that scoring power to go with it, with Matier in great form and obviously Hogan coming to the club. So Fremantle, they're going to be in a lot of games, a bit like St Kilda. They give great effort. They always have a crack. And because they've got a strong system, it'll keep them in games most weeks. Finals should be on the radar for Freo.
We went down and had a chat to Ross, who I love, by the way. And you only get the one question, and then he starts. And yeah, 5 minutes later, he's still going. Yeah. And then at the end of it, he goes, well, it's been good. He's all come down.
Yeah.
Just walked off.
Yeah.
He just controls
the narrative.
He can
get on a roll. And when he finishes, he then starts again on something else.
He does. And that's why I do my opposition analysis. And when I do it just to the assistant coaches, it goes for 45 minutes. When Ross Lyon's in it, goes for about an hour and a half because he starts talking and goes off on tangents. And that's what Ross does. He's just got footy on the brain and he's a very knowledgeable man.
Now, no, if you had a win.
Oh, I did, Jim. I did at Warrnambool today. So my first winner is a horse owner, El Vincitore, in race number two. So
what did it pay?
It paid about $4.60.
Where'd the name come from? El Vincitore.
I don't know. I didn't name it. I've only got a small share in it, but
you would have had a little on its back.
I actually didn't have anything on it today, Jim.
Really?
I was worried that it wasn't going to win. It's been running at 1400's first two starts. We did get told over 1700 it's going to be a better horse, and it did win today. It won well. Now I think they're trying to set it for the Queensland Derby, but got some abusive texts from the Friday Huddle boys in Darce and Juddy and Snorkel, the big nose producer, the fact that I didn't put
about
that
to say, you
past
must
the
be
information
the owner,
on.
The only owner of a horse in history not to have had a little bit of something on it for a win.
Isn't that meant to be bad karma? I've invested heavily in race 9 and race 10, Jim. So I'd emptied out the account on race 9 and 10, and I'd have to deposit some more, and I'd have to be explaining to Christine, where does this extra money come from?
Well, she's overseas.
Mm. Yeah, well, she's in the
state. Race 9 and 10, Bill. Race 9 and 10.
Yeah, I see that. We'll have a chat to him. We might wrap this up now.
Are you still looking at cricket highlights?
No.
Warrnambool races now.
Out of the quaddy now. Can't, I am someone one.
Did it?
Yeah,
I so told you that. I told you to include that, and you didn't include it.
I didn't. Do you know the team that's had the most players this year already after only six rounds?
Nope.
No.
Richmond.
Really?
That's a lot of injuries.
A lot of injuries. 30, still, 4-2.
32 players.
Got themselves back on track. And,
it's not a bad effort.
Speaking of good systems, you got to commend the way they put their system together.
They have. And Jack Rewalt, obviously a tight ass, clearly. $1,000, Jack. I mean, you've probably been paid $800,000 a year. Just accept it and move on because you're not playing again for a fair amount of time. Come on, Jack.
And it did look bad. I know he reckons it didn't look that bad, but it did.
The old chicken wing, you can't be going around doing the chicken wing, can you? Just accept your $1,000 fine.
$1,500 now, so bad
nice.
Luck.
Hey, good to see you both. What are we seeing from you, Joey? Are you calling for us over the weekend, or what work are you doing?
Yes, Saturday nights. I think Richmond and Richmond the Bulldogs will be a good game with Nath here and Barry Denner, and looking forward to that one. Should be a good game.
And Dead Set Legends.
Dead Set Legends Saturday morning.
Who you got, special guest?
We've got a new host. Hello. Mid-season draft. We've got a young Sarah Ollie from Fox is now joining us because Emma Friedman's had her baby.
Right.
So we've got a new host, so it's going to be very exciting.
And a new producer. Yeah, you'd need that.
Good.
Hopefully a new panel operator.
I got the feeling the show would really ground to a halt on the back of Rabs over there, who's giving you absolutely no. In fact, he's given your show about as much as Snorkel's given us on a Saturday, which is absolutely zero. Good to see you both. Thanks for dropping in.
Yeah, thank you.